Welcome to Taking Notes, the Lotus Notes and Domino podcast. Here are your hosts, Bruce Elgort and Julian Robichaud.
Hello, and welcome to another riveting Taking Notes podcast with Bruce Elgort and Julian Robichaud. Today is Sunday, January 15th, and earlier this morning, Bruce and I got a chance to talk to Scott the Turtle Wentel about Lotusphere. Lotusphere is only a week away, and Turtle being everyone's favorite Lotusphere pundit, we thought, gosh, who better to talk to right now than Turtle? This week, Turtle is our man. Oh yeah, baby. He runs the wildly popular Gonzo Lotusphere site at gonzolotusphere.com, and here you go. Taking Notes Podcast, Episode 10. Get ready for Lotusphere with Bruce, Julian, and Turtle.
So, Turtle, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm originally from a small town in western New York nobody's ever heard of, except it's now something of a trivia question because it's where Jell-O was invented. I'll buy somebody a beer at Lotusphere if they can tell me where that is. My parents and most of my siblings and everybody still live up there. I was the only one who could completely escape. So now I live about an hour west of Baltimore in Maryland and went to school at Michigan State. I think they still have a warrant out for me or something out there. And now these days I spend my time trying to keep my house in order, keep the cats fed, and my day job is writing software for a large federal agency that sucks up a lot of your money.
Which one?
Gives it to me.
That could be so many.
Take from the poor, give to the poor. Yes, so I work as long as nobody tells anybody, it's Social Security. Shh, you didn't hear that from me though.
I still got that Jell-O question on my mind. So
yeah, I'll be looking that up during the interview.
I'm guessing Jell-O on his mind. It's official. Okay. Well, yeah.
All right, well, Lotusphere. I guess we're talking about Lotusphere today.
Great.
Turtle, how many Lotuspheres have you been to? When did you start going?
My first was the first year I heard about it, because I was working in a different venue in 93 when they had the original Lotusphere in December 93. So the first word I heard about it was, my boss threw a flyer on my desk in August of 94, said, well, there's this conference coming up in Orlando. You want to go? It's like, oh, okay, sure, great. That was 1995 I went. First one, there was about, I want to say, 2,000, maybe 2,500 people there. Cost $895. That's how long ago it was. And all of it took place in Dolphin and a couple of rooms in Swan. We didn't even fill all of that. In fact, I think that year half of Swan was taken up by like a cosmetics convention or something, or real estate or something. So this will be my 12th. This will be my 12th.
This is mine.
Go ahead, Bruce.
Okay, Julian, this is your what Lotusphere? What number Lotusphere?
So this would be 12th?
No, for you.
For me?
No, for Julian.
For Julian. Oh, sorry. I see. I'm not used to getting the questions myself. This is actually my third, so I'm actually relatively new for this.
I think it's my fifth.
Your fifth?
Go ahead. There might be half a dozen or a dozen 13 timers. You know, I don't know who they are, but
is that like Rich Schwartz?
Probably, yeah, and a couple other guys like that. The gray-haired veterans of the Lotusphere Wars.
Scott Good, Henry Newberry, possibly.
I'd have to ask Henry, but yeah, a lot of those guys. So, like I said, by comparison, I am the neophyte because I've only got 12. But.
That's why we're interviewing you.
Only 12. Well, so, you know, so a newbie like you, Turtle, do you still look forward to, I mean, you know, obviously for me, third year, I still just think this is the cat's pajamas. Really looking forward to Lotusphere. I mean, do you still kind of look forward to them? Are they getting kind of old? Has it changed a lot over 10, 12 years?
I think the only thing that's getting old is I'm getting old. I find that it's harder for me to get physically ready for Lotusphere because I know on the website, and I hope we'll talk about that a little bit. I don't think people understand what a physical effort going and going and going, the whole week of Lotusphere really is. I mean, it isn't your typical sit on your butt and inhale things kind of conference. No.
For most of us.
There was one year, probably 1999 or 2000, I actually put a pedometer on, and I think I clocked up 7.5 miles in one day, just walking around and, you know, going from building to building. And I mean, it's a real workout. And I just find that between that and getting up in the morning and staying up way late at night, and just it takes a toll on you. Plus, coupled with doing the website, which there have been years when I've been up till 3-4 in the morning posting pictures and updating things, and it really does take a lot out of me. I want to say that I still look forward to it because I need it as sort of an inoculation against, you know, the Microsoft wave that I have to deal with at work. It's kind of my booster shot once a year, and on that basis, yeah, I do look forward to it. And a lot of times, these are the only times I get to see or talk to some friends I've had for 10, 12 years now. This is the only time I ever catch up with them because they're, you know, either on the other side of the country or maybe on the other side of the world. So yeah, I do look forward to it, but it gets harder and harder to get prepped for it. I'm just starting to feel old.
Now, are you going to drive down there again? You usually drive your Saab, right?
That is correct. It won't be the Saab this year. The Saab. Well, we'll put it this way: merging a deer with a Saab does not result in happiness on either side. I hit one a couple of months ago, and my favorite Saab place couldn't get me another Saab, so I went out and bought a VW Passat wagon that's looks like it's up to the task. But yeah, this will be the 12th year that I've driven down. One year I decided to fish out and took the auto train going down, and that was okay. But the seats were kind of hard, and they had a crappy movie in the club car, so I never did it again. But yeah, it's actually a nice drive down. I generally take off on Friday afternoon, get down to, you know, somewhere around Charleston or Savannah or something, and then stay over, get to the conference right about check in. And the nice thing is I've got my car, I've got my stuff. Don't have to put up with lines at the airport or get some rental car with a busted AM radio. I actually like doing it. That's part of the challenge, and it really helps me transition out of everyday life and work up here down to being down there, and also helps me decompress on the way back. Plus, on the trip back, I stop off and pick up, you know, the important things of life, like, you know, cheap Florida fruit and even cheaper South Carolina fireworks. They would have a problem if I took that on an aircraft. I mean, not the fruit, but I mean the explosive sniffing dogs would pass out. So, you know, I'll just drive.
And then, you know, of course, you got to keep the website updated too. You've got the whole unofficial Gonzo Lotusphere site. And that's really turned you into kind of this big Lotusphere evangelist. Where did that site come from? When did you start doing it?
Well, originally it was a way of justifying my employers paying for my trip down there. But this was probably back around 98. I figured it would be a neat idea for the people, because we had a short budget that year, and I figured it would be a neat idea if I could convey to the people back at work what I was seeing and hearing and news and things like that. So I set up a Domino server or a Node server, and at the time it was a Nodes database that I just replicated back up to Maryland here from a dial-up connection in the hotel I was staying at off-site, and it was popular enough that year with my coworkers and people who were envious of me that the next year I decided to do it as a publicly accessible site, and so it's been what now six seven I can't even remember I can't count. 6 or 7, 8 years that I've been doing this. And it really just got started as a way for me to convey to other people what it was like to be there. More after having been, and Julian, as you've seen this from your third year here, what you find is there's a whole bunch of stuff you would wish you knew about the conference before you got there. And this was something that Lotus and later Lotus IBM were never really good at conveying. Sure, they would give you the basic information, but you needed somewhere you could go to ask people, well, what are the good sessions and why do I want to go to this one versus that one? If I can't get into one of the jam-packed on-site hotels, where can I stay off-site? Suppose I need a replacement battery for a cell phone or a laptop while I'm down there, where do I go? Where can I go to party? All sorts of things like that. And gradually I realized after 3-4 years, I knew about as much about this as anybody, so I simply started collecting all that information up and passing it on to people. Everything from rental car rates to where to meet local people in Orlando, and you know where to get cheap beer on Wednesday nights. Go ahead.
I was going to say when you say meet local people, I think that's.
meet. Yes, it's right. Like in case you don't want to go picking up your coworkers or the coworkers of your business associates. Yes, there are real people who live in Orlando, and some of them are kind of cute. Hey, they're not all animatronic, man. So don't believe that stuff you read.
So totally, you started talking about things like, you know, cheap beer, where to go buy this, where to go buy that. Lay us out some tips.
Okay. What I found, let's see, there's a place over as far as supplies for your week, because that's important. And this is something that I did on the site for a couple of years, and I still do it unofficially, which is for those of you flying in, if there's something you need, you don't know where to get it, particularly if you don't have a rental car. And if you do have a car, you don't know your way around or where to get things. So one of the things that I put up, for example, is, you know, where the nearest good liquor store is that has a collection of, you know, good beers, you know, stuff that you won't find just down at the 7-Eleven. And that's actually off of State Route 535 over near just past Disney Marketplace. There's the Crossroads Shopping Center. And north of that, there's the closest liquor store that I find. That's when I go out and buy things for people who are, you know, landlocked at the Dolphin or the Swan. That's generally where I go, because they have everything from really good imported beer to really cheap, nasty Florida gin and cigars and who knows what else they need, and snacks and things like
they
that.
Have dog food
and
there?
No, but there's a Publix grocery store not too far from there. Oh, and for the heavy duty things, I also go over to Walmart and whatnot. And that's one of the things, I provide directions and locations for that stuff. So if you've got a rental car, you can go. One of the things that Disney is really bad about is supplying a lot of those things. You go down to that little all night convenience store in the Dolphin, and you pay like, you know, $5 for a dollar thing of orange juice, and it's just, you know, it's a way to save some money and get people what they really need. And over the years, I've had requests for everything from weird mineral water to particular kinds of whiskey and, you know, particular types of cigars and things like that. And I've been able to find pretty much everything. So that's one of the places that you want to hit if you're stocking up for the week. I recommend getting a lot of water. The Lotus Pure water is good, but I recommend any water that's bottled outside the state of Florida. Which is pretty much all of them, but somehow it's like Zephyr Hills. Avoid it. It tastes like, trust me, it tastes like garbage when it's warm next to the bed in the morning. When you most need it, it tastes the worst. As far as getting out to meeting people, there's actually a bunch of low-key places if you want to just go out and hang out with non-tourists. There's actually the Orlando natives do go out to that downtown, the Church Street Station thing. There's a lot of interesting stuff to do down there. Like I said, over if you don't want to drive as far, there's the Crossroads there. There's like a TGI Fridays over there, and there's also a Hooters now. It used to be a really good kind of beach bar called the Baja Beach Club, and that was definitely the place to go if you wanted to like pick up drunk blonde girls drinking on their fake IDs. But they closed a few years ago, and now it's a Hooters, so you know you can take it or leave it, I suppose.
Turtle, there's just remember that you're still a geek, all right?
Yes, I know, okay. But that's okay. I don't go pick up the townies. I just look.
Yeah, and if you do go to one of those places, just go ahead and do yourself a favor. Take your Lotosphere badge off. Don't bring your Lotosphere backpack to Hooters.
Important advice for all of you. There you go, Julian. See, the kid knows well already. We've taught him well. But yeah, that's and I will say that's a good thing. That's good advice. Once you get past 5-6 o'clock at night, please take your badge and backpack off. Don't cart that stuff all over the place.
I'm just lost my coffee.
People can spot you. Sorry.
Well, the good thing about the badge, though, is no matter where you are in Disney, somebody is wearing it out and about, and it's like, oh, Lotus for a geek, you know.
Yep, absolutely. And the more garish the backpack is, they've tended toward the yellow and black in recent years. Like, you can usually spot those. But please, you don't have to carry that thing. In fact, I haven't carried the backpack in years. I don't need it. There's nothing in it that's of any use. And if I'm going to collect up stuff down at the show, down in the product showcase, and Monday afternoon, Monday evening is the prime time for doing that, you fill it up, you take it back to the room, and you leave it there. Do not take it to the party. Do not take it down the beach. Do not, it's like, make an effort. Get rid of the backpack. It is not a good thing.
Well, and really, you know, on your site, on the Gonzo site, you've got a lot of good little tips, you know, comfortable shoes, lots of water, things like that. Really, on the other side of that, what are some things that people want to avoid doing? So questions of etiquette, things like that, places not to eat. What are some good tips there?
I eat so little during the week anymore that it's a little hard. Almost any of the places on Disney property are going to be tolerable. If you go off-site, I would just simply avoid anything where tourists are likely to cluster. Any of the big-name chain type of things are generally pretty good places to avoid during dinner hours. If you want to get something to eat that isn't Disney food, do yourself a favor and get something at least, you know, local and not nationally chain or anything like that. I would avoid that. Etiquette, when you're talking about etiquette, please don't come to the Ask the Developers session and ask them to solve your particular peevish little parochial company problem back home in 5 minutes. This is why you buy a support contract. Do not take up all our time. It's late in the afternoon, we're tired, and we're all holding half-empty bottles of water, which we can throw, and we will. So avoid doing that. If you've got, this is something new, by the way, that I didn't realize they were doing until a few weeks ago because I wasn't paying attention. But if you don't actually need a car at Dolphin, don't bother bringing it this year because for some reason they've started charging parking, and I'm really not sure why. Apparently, if you're at the Swan, none of that applies, but they've now apparently gated the Dolphin lot, and I have no idea why they did that except to make more money.
Really?
Off of this. Wow. Yeah, it's like seven. If you're staying there, it's like $7 a day, but you can get in and out. If you're not staying there, now normally they won't even let you park there at all, but apparently if you can get in and out, it's like $8 a day and no in and out, which is kind of goofy. But you figure the parking lot is 600-700 cars. What do they really need with that money anyway? You know, I mean, it's where else are you going to park? So if you can avoid parking at Dolphin, please do so. That's contrary to my usual advice, which is, you know, here's tips on how to get easy parking, but apparently Swan is a little bit more wide open, so you may want to investigate that.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment.
Yeah, what's the best way to have fun down there? You know, outside, you know, you mentioned food. What about, you know, we talked about that, the Hooters and stuff like that. Aren't there other things to do down there that you can give us some advice on?
Yeah, there are plenty of clubs and things like that around Orlando. Some of them along what the heck they call it, the Riverwalk or the City Walk, down near Universal Islands of Adventure.
Correct.
Yeah, there's clubs and stuff down there which are not just all tourists, but there's some. And also, as I said, downtown at Church Street Station, there's a lot of places to go out down there which are not, you know, touristy nearly as much as what you'll find on Disney, like West Side or Downtown Disney. If you do want to go down there, then yeah, there's plenty of places. The Hard Rock, there's the Blues Place. Why can't I think of this?
House of Blues.
House of Blues.
Because it's early Sunday morning, and certain guys woke me up to talk about this stuff.
I'm 3 hours behind you, and I'm up.
But that's
you're a turtle, so
I've been up for hours.
Just shut up. I'm old, man. I was up late. The House of Blues is down there. They've got some that's good. I mean, there's Planet Hollywood. Are they still even open, or did they go bankrupt?
No, Planet Hollywood's open.
Okay, yeah, it's like I would actually put Planet Hollywood on that list of avoid. It's not worth it. There's going to be people jammed in there with tourists, and Tom Cruise is not going to show up. I personally assure you, Tom Cruise will not be at Planet Hollywood anytime during Lotus Fest.
You know, Julian, now you have to leave that squirting microphone that you bought.
Yeah?
To interview Tom Cruise, you have to leave it home now.
I do?
Yeah. So Turtle, you're doing a session this year?
Yeah. I laid off for a couple of years, but I am speaking again this year. Y'all come to AppDev 216, I guess, which is Monday afternoon. It's Domino and Ajax and how wonderful they are together. I will warn people, it's more of an introductory overview kind of session. If you want to go more in-depth, or if you already know more about this than I do, you may want to go to Lance Spellman's hands-on and his session dealing with a lot of these same topics. And I believe Henry Newberry and somebody he's teaming with are also doing a site that involves some of the Ajax techniques in relation to Domino. So
yeah,
there's
also
a couple of things. Take a look. I've got
a podcast with Dwight Wilbanks and Lance. So I think it was episode number... Quick, someone throw up the website. Yeah. I think it was episode 7.
You know, let's link to it on the website.
Okay.
We can do that, right?
So Turtle, how does you giving a session this year approach the way, how do you approach Lotusphere this year now that you're a speaker?
It kind of puts a wrinkle in things. I had done about 3 years in a row, like 99, 2000, 2001. I had done sessions every year. What I found was that I really appreciated having the session out of the way early in the week. And at this time, I don't know if it's going to be repeated, obviously. So what I found is it kind of put a dent in the week, because while everybody else is getting out, partying on Sunday night, I'm going down to tech check, I'm hiding out in the hotel room, putting last minute touches on code and things like that I'm showing. Whereas normally I'd just be more purely social. The last couple of years I've been able to sort of, hang back and, reconnect with people and catch up on things and keep my ear to the ground and find out what's going on, that isn't heavily advertised, and having a session early in the week like that kind of puts a dent in that, because I've got to focus on getting the session right. It really is like theater. When you get working up to it, it's like rehearsing for a performance, and once the show's over, you just want to like go to the cast party. And
Julian's session with Deppert's on Sunday morning. Julian,
yeah, 10:30. So we get that
Thursday.
Right out of the way. Right.
So yeah. I'm gonna have to keep my voice in check and not talk too much, but...
Yeah, don't go screaming on any of the rides at SeaWorld, huh?
Yeah. what about... Oh, go ahead, Julian.
Yeah, no, Bruce, you can talk.
I had a question in my head for Turtle. Isn't there something happening on Saturday night that you host?
There is for the... God, it's been like 6-8 years we've been doing this, too. The unofficial Gonzo Lotusphere party. It's more of a come and make your own event kind of thing. Every couple of years we have a sponsor. I know a couple of years ago, Lance Spellman and Workflow Studios generously kicked in some money to sponsor us. We go over Saturday night, about 7:30, 8 o'clock till they throw us out at the ESPN Club on the boardwalk. That's ESPN on the boardwalk, not the ESPN zone over in Disney downtown. We occasionally get people come back all pissed at us because they went to the wrong place. Well, if they paid attention, they know where to go. We just basically congregate. It's an interesting evening. It's kind of the unofficial start to the Sphere partying season, and we get people straggling in all night. Everybody from neophytes who are curious to meet other people that have been on the Lotusphere site to guys like Ed Brill and people like Libby and Gracia, who often go over to the Penumbra dinner offsite and then make it over to the Gonzo Lotusphere gathering afterwards. And it's always been a good time. We gradually take over the entire place and drive all the normal tourists out, and it's loads of fun. But yeah, that's going to be Saturday night, about 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock till they throw us out. Seriously. And be looking for the people with the silver stickers. Our ID this year is silver stickers, so if you want to drink with us, you might as well. You can always go to the stationery store and get a silver sticker, and we'll have no idea who you are.
Right on. And prior to the Turtle party, the ESPN party, we had a get together last year at the Big River Brewery at 6 p.m. as a pre-Turtle ESPN party. This year we're moving it to 4 p.m., and I just posted something on my blog at bruceelgort.com, so take a look at it. It's not just for bloggers, it's for everybody. And actually, Duffbird started it about 2 years ago. We were walking down, a whole bunch of us down the, the boardwalk, and Duffbird was sitting there with a beer sampler all by himself, and things just happened from there. So
we sat down and drank his beer.
That's right.
Yeah. See what happens, Tom? Jeez, yeah, that's what happens. But see, now, Bruce, let's not let this get like kind of like the New Hampshire primary and the Iowa. It's like I don't want to have to be out there at like noon drinking beer on Saturday. I'm still on the road then.
Actually, so. Last year, a whole bunch of us were in the ESPN on the boardwalk probably around noon.
Yeah, it was because I got down there at like noon, 1 o'clock, and you guys were just heading over there. You started early.
That's hard time. That's yeah. I'm, like I said, I'm still out on I-4 driving over from Daytona about that time. So yeah, I time it so that I just have enough time to, you know, unpack, make my room a pigsty, change, go down to the, you know, go down to ESPN. it's been interesting. Like I said, I've learned to pace myself, because I'll give you two pieces of other advice. Don't smoke with and don't try to outdrink Brits. It cannot be done.
Yeah.
when they get drinking those $7 pitchers of Killian's, like, there is no stopping them.
Actually,
because they're all wired up on Europe time.
No, I think the Dutch contingency last year outdid the Brits. So
they were tough.
Did you hear that, Vince and Kurt?
It's rough though. It's like, be careful. Don't stick your finger in the light socket on that one.
All right. Well, one last thing for you here. There's, I guess, a few new things going on at Lotosphere this year. The Jam Fest. I guess they changed some of the session categories up and things like that. What's the one thing you're really looking forward to this year?
Honestly, Jam Fest might be it. I'm really curious to see what kind of talent these guys come up with. For those of you who haven't read about it yet, basically, we're just going to take over the Swan tent on Monday and Tuesday nights. IBM and Lotus and Disney have arranged for, you know, amps and a keyboard, a couple of guitars, a bass, drum kit, you know, microphones, everything, and a heavily discounted bar for participants. And basically, we're just going to get together and jam. This is something that, in the very early days, a lot of the Iris guys used to get together in a, you know, in a room kind of after hours and play. And I'm glad to see this sort of thing come back. I'm actually pretty curious about it. Oh, yeah, and, you know, maybe some product announcements and a look at Domino 8 and things like that. But I really want to see, it's like, who can play and who's just a hack.
Yeah, I've participated in two of the advisor conferences where they had, you know, after hours jamming. It was great. It was a total riot, man.
So, yep. So better or worse than karaoke?
Oh, much better.
Yeah. Although I don't think any of you guys are as cute as that woman who runs karaoke over at Kimono's. It's
that's actually a man, Turtle. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, Turtle, Julian and I would like to thank you for spending your early Sunday morning with us here on the Taking Notes podcast, and hotefully we will see you at Lotosphere on Saturday.
Yeah.
So again,
And those of you listening out there in Podland, we hope to see you Saturday, Sunday, and at Lotosphere. If you make it down there, enjoy the conference. And if you don't make it down there, you'll wish you had.